This is the D&B staff meeting. We actually have a name for it. When I talked with Ennis, we did not have one. I slept on it. I have a name. It is the D&B staff meeting.
I love
And that person laughing there is Danielle DeGraw, who also works on our D&B staff. And welcome, Danielle. And as I said to Ennis, I've said it in writing, but I appreciate having both of you contributing to what I do. And thanks for that.
Oh, no problem, James. You know what? Out of, my storied career of all the places I've ever worked at, I have to say you've been the best boss ever. And I'm not just saying that because you've given me like such cool things to do on the site, but I really do appreciate it. So kudos to you too, James.
And that's funny too, because Ennis kind of sucked up to me at the start of his interview as well. And
Hey man, it's not sucking up. It's saying the truth. I'll tell you if you suck, James, but you don't. Oh, you're on good books with me.
all right. Anyway, to keep the continuity going in this segment, I gave Ennis the option of NBA or Raptors. So which do you want to talk about first?
Raptors.
Okay, yeah, because you normally do the NBA stuff with Jiggly Bits, so you can talk Raptors first. So you are not on Twitter, but I am sure you are aware of Chris Bosh
Oh,
and
I'm getting on it. I'm getting on it, James. I'm there. I'm working on it, just so you know.
okay, but Chris Bosh has set the world to Twitter and got me in the Toronto Star, which I thank him for. I thanked him in Ennis's interview. I thank him again, CB. You got me some pub. I appreciate it. But that being said, everyone seems to have an opinion on what Bosch has done with his Twitter and the messages that he sent out. What's your take on how Bosch approached this and where he's going to end up when the everywhere becomes somewhere?
Well, see, the thing is, sometimes we forget that these NBA players, even though they're on Twitter and they're doing stuff and they're connecting with their fans, even though that they're stars and their names are out there, they're still human and they can make mistakes and make a Twitter and do whatever. But I think with Chris Bosh, though, I think if you take a step back and look at all the stuff that's been kind of swirling around in the news about him, I think that was really me personally, let's pretend I was Chris Bosh and I had, different plumbing, and different basketball skills. I think that would be kind of a guilt trip. I think that he's thinking, you know what? I'm thinking about leaving the Raptors. I'm thinking about breaking up with Toronto, and I just kind of want to put some feelers out there to see what people are saying so that I know how to sort of word my goodbye, maybe.
That's kind of weird because someone actually on Twitter, that was the first thing that I saw popping up that did Chris Bosh just break up with me on Twitter? And that's kind of odd. I mean, if you break up with someone, at least that deems a phone call or something, although I don't know how you'd phone the entire Raptor fan base.
Well, see, that's the thing with Twitter, that you can reach so many people at once. And I think sometimes people kind of take it to the nth degree, and that, if they see Chris Bosh walking down the street, they're going to say, "Hey man, you dissing me? You're leaving Toronto, man? What's up with that?" And he doesn't really have to answer to anyone, but because he cares about the city and he cares about have playing here because he's played for, so many years here, that I think that he's kind of in a backhanded way trying to say, "Look, I'm leaving, but I don't want to make anybody upset with me because I want you to follow me to whatever team that I end up being playing end up playing at."
Yeah, but I think the exact opposite has happened, and people have made this into a very emotional thing based on the history of this franchise. And, people are taking this as an emotional thing, and it's not. It's a business decision, not only for Bosch, but for the Raptors as well. And,
And I think that's the problem that some people make, especially going, like, even if you're talking about the playoffs in general. Everybody's in an NBA pool. Everybody's, picking their favorite team and thing and talking with emotion. But at the end of the day, you don't think that Chris Bosh knows what he's doing. You think that he's just, "I'm just going to make a tweet and then I'm not going to even think about it." Of course he's thinking about it. He's thinking about his business. He's got business associates. He's got people running his things for him, like he's not just a guy who plays basketball. He's out there. He's very smart. He's a businessman. And of course, you're right, James. At the end of the day, the NBA is a business. It's not just a playground.
And then Brian Colangelo is the guy left holding the bag in all of this, and seeing as it seems like we're 99.9% sure Bosch is not coming back, what does Brian Colangelo do with this? I mean, obviously, we're heading down the road of a sign and trade, but for me personally, if Chris Bosch leaves, I don't see any way that the Toronto Raptors are a better team, at least in the short term, when you're dealing away your best player who's a five-time All-Star.
And this is the catch-22, because who is going to come to the Raptors after the troubles that they've had? Who are they going to get for Bosch? It's not like, you know, there's some people out there saying, oh, man, they need to get LeBron, or they need to get, you know, maybe Kobe will come. Yeah, as if. But, you know, if you're trading away Chris Bosch and he's worth $5, you're going to have to get $5 back worth of talent. And who are you going to get in that? I'm not saying that Chris Bosch is worth $5, to put in layman's terms, because not everybody can relate to making millions playing a basketball game. So I'm just throwing that out there.
No, in terms of the CBA, to use your analogy, I think the Raptors could take back $575 or $425 based on that $5, because you got your 125% rule in the CBA, and whatever Bosch's max contract would be, you'd be able to take that back minus 25% or plus 25%. But I think Colangelo has to come up with a deal, and Ennis and I were talking about this. I don't know if you agree with it. When Rob Babcock made the deal for Vince Carter, he made it essential about the fact that he had to get two draft picks back, and that turned out to be terrible in the final analysis. Ennis and I both were in agreement. The Raptors need to get players back in this deal, guys that we already know what they are. And I had wrote in the blog a couple weeks ago an example of that in Oklahoma City with a Jeff Green and a James Harden. Those would be two young guys. People who are hardcore basketball fans know who they are. Maybe the casual fan doesn't. But I think at the end of the day, the Raptors got to bring back warm bodies in this, and draft picks are not really the route you want to go with this.
No, and I think I agree, because you can't go down the roads that the Leafs have done, and if I could put a little hockey spin on it, and trading away the two picks for the next, you're not planning for your future when you do that. I don't understand that. You can do that, say, if you have a solid team and you know that you're kind of on the cusp of going somewhere, whereas right now the Raptors are rebuilding. Let's pretend Chris Bosch is gone. What do you have left to work with? You have a lot of talent that you're going to have to expect these players to step up, and you're regrouping. You can't do that when you're kind of playing with the hopes of maybe getting someone that might help you later. You need somebody now.
Yeah, and then one of the things that has also been equated with this whole sign-and-trade scenario is, can the Raptors unload one of their bad contracts, being Hedo Turkoglu or Jose Calderon, in a Bosch deal? If you had to choose between one or the other, which one do you want to send packing with Chris Bosch and send them to whatever destination they happen to be going?
Well, am I talking as a fan or business-like, I'd send Hedo, because I don't think that he's really doing anything for the fans and keeping them coming back. Because as you've probably, you know, you're on Raptor Space, and if you've watched Raptor Space, you know, they've had, you know, they're in the stands talking with fans and saying, you know, for example, one of their segments, they were talking about whether or not coaches should be sitting players close to the playoffs, like how LeBron had sat one or two games before the playoffs came around. And a lot of the players are saying, you know what? The fans are saying, you know what? I'm sitting here, I'm paying. You know, at the same time, I love my team, and I want the coach to be able to do whatever he wants to make them win games. But at the same time, I'm paying to see Chris Bosh. Has anybody sitting in the stands saying, I'm paying to see Hedo Turkoglu? No, no one is. I don't think there is. I haven't heard anybody say it. I mean, they enjoy watching him when he's there, but I don't think that he's doing anything to get people excited. Whereas I've honestly, and this is just from me being out in the community and out there covering things, that I've heard little kids talking about Calderon, saying that they, you know, at him being a not that Hedo Turkoglu is not a recognizable name, but if you're talking about the business part of it, the marketing part of the team, if I had to choose at the end of the day, I would send Hidu Prakking.
And then, but then you also have the issue of we have Groundhog Day again with the point guard situation, and half the fan base likes Jared Jack, half the fan base likes Jose Calderon, although I don't think it's 50-50 anymore, because I think Jose had a season that has opened the eyes of some who refused to open them in the past. And so Brian Colangelo stated in his end of the season address that the point guard situation might have to be addressed. So maybe both of them aren't back when all is said and done.
Well, really, as the business staff, because, you know, Brian Colangelo doesn't make decisions in a whole, don't you think that maybe this might be his, not his legacy, but his thing that's going to define him, and if he's been able to turn the Raptors around?
I think this will absolutely, what happens this summer will absolutely define his Raptor legacy. It may even define his NBA legacy as an executive, because, I mean, he did a great job in Phoenix, but he did that under his father and Jerry Colangelo. This was his first time stepping outside of that. It's had some mixed results, and really, speaking frankly, when you get right down to it, Brian Colangelo has made some great minor moves for the Toronto Raptors, but his major moves have all failed miserably. Jason Capono, Jermaine O'Neal, and now Hidu Turkoglu. And, I mean, this is going to be a big offseason for Brian Colangelo, and he's not in the greatest position to do it when you have to trade your best player. And I know a lot of the fans have jumped ship on Chris Bosh already and are throwing him under the bus. But you know what? The guy's a five-time All-Star. And
yeah, but I know he is a five-time All-Star, and he's given so much. But at the same time, it's like the same argument I was giving for almost on the brink of breaking up with my Lakers, is that I've been put on this emotional roller coaster as a fan. And I think that's the stress that fans are looking to unload. And if Chris Bosh is already on his way out, ready to go, why do you want to stay with someone who has their sights set on somebody else? See, James, think of it. You're going out with someone, you're treating her right and everything else, and then she tells you, James, man, I want to bail. Are you going to sit there and argue with her and tell her she wants to stay and keep her there even though you don't? No, you're going to say, okay, fine, cut your losses and go. And I think what fans are not necessarily bailing on Bosh. They would love to see him stay, but you want to see him stay happy. I don't want him sitting here playing pissed off, hoping that, you know, he's going to resurrect whatever, you know, he's missing. If he's going to be happy, I say set him free and let him be happy somewhere else as the emotional connection as a fan and a player. But as the business sense, if you're on your way out, you leave and make your peace and leave. Don't say, okay, let's send out a tweet and say, okay, what are they thinking? No, just say, I'm leaving, I'm thinking of going, and so that we can all move on and find somebody else.
I don't know about that, because you've got a tricky situation, because you've got to keep his value up to do the sign and trade. If everyone knows he's out the door and he actually flat out says it, then your value for the sign and trade goes boom.
Oh no, I hear you. From the business standpoint of him looking to advance his career, I by all means, you know, play whatever game you need to play to advance. Like you said, this is a business.
Yeah. Let's move ahead.
But I'm just defending the fan standpoint of trying to get around the fact that he may or may not be leaving. They probably just made the decision that, yeah, that's it.
Well, a lot of fans made the decision before he even made the decision himself, which I find a little odd. I think Raptor fans are a little once bitten, twice shy and all of that. But let's advance, and assuming Chris Bosh is not back, which is a pretty safe assumption, the most talented player left on your roster is probably Andrea Bargnani. There's a lot of problems with Andrea Bargnani as the face of my franchise, and one of them being, and it's just being honest, the guy cannot speak like correct English, and he's learning the language, and that's going to be the spokesman for your team. That being said, when you add in his struggles on the floor, I don't know how that works with Andrea Bargnani as the face of the Toronto Raptors. I just don't see it.
Well, I kind of disagree, actually. I understand that he's had, and anybody who's ever watched soap operas or follows Grey's Anatomy or anything knows that Andrea Bargnani kind of brings that, like, when he first came into the league, to see him struggle, to see where he's come from, to come from another country, to learn the language, and learn the language of NBA basketball, because it's far different from European style of play, and to understand that, okay, I'm learning another language, I'm learning another set of systems under another coach, under another another league. I think he's really come a long way. And if you're talking about the fact that he can't speak English or proper English, and he doesn't have that kind of wherewithal about him with the media, look at Kevin Garnett and his last post game wrap up after, what was it, not the second last game, but he just stared at a piece of paper and he's kind of talking like this, and I don't know, and yeah, I'm the best, but you know, I had a great night and we applied some pressure. All that, he's not exactly animated, so I don't know that is really a factor to look at in Hidu. I mean, I agree with you in that he's been a little inconsistent and that, you know, the speaking factor, but I don't know. I think we could give him a chance.
You meant Andrea. You said Hidu, but Hidu would be kind of the same thing.
No, I think we could give him a chance. Did I say Hidu?
Yeah, you said Hidu, but it's okay. It's okay, though. But it would kind of be the same thing, because Hidu's like a couple steps ahead in the English vernacular. But the point being, I mean, you go from such a dynamic personality in Chris Bosh to someone who is the total opposite of that, and I just don't know how it works. And then basketball.
Oh, I know. I see what you're saying in that.
And then basketball wise, I mean, I'm not convinced, and a lot of people aren't convinced that this guy is worth $50 million, which is the contract that he signed. I know Ennis is a big supporter of Bargnani. He was saying, you apparently are as well, but I'm just like, I haven't seen enough yet.
If we have to look. And look forward to, really, okay, Chris Bosh was the face, is still the face of the Raptors. He hasn't left yet. Do we really, you know, are we looking to replace him with something equal or a fresh face that's going to put a new spin on the Raptors, what they need? Are we looking for another Chris Bosh, or are we looking for a new face of the Raptors?
And then here's the other thing, too, that I mentioned to Ennis, and I think a lot of people who are hardcore basketball fans miss out on this, and people that cover it too, quite frankly. Basketball has to always account for the casual fans here in Canada, because, and you will gladly admit this, I know, hockey is the number one sport in this country. That's probably not going to change. So basketball needs to always be cognizant, I think, of the casual fan. And I'm not sure what the casual fan thinks of Andrea Bargnani in terms of who he is and what he is and how that's all going to work out, not just in the Toronto area, but across this country, which has always been a goal for MLSC to market this team, not just as a Toronto team, but as a national team.
Mm-hmm. And I think, though, if you're talking about hockey being the number one sport in Canada and trying to market the game of basketball to hockey fans, because really that's what you're saying, because hockey fans would be the casual basketball fan if they just kind of go to a game once in a while, if they get free tickets through work or whatever. Those type of fans only want to know a couple of big names, watch them, and follow them. I don't think they're going to care, you know, don't think that the average wayward fan is going to care about DeMar DeRozan and his stats one night or how he's doing or whatever. They just want to be able to have a couple of names to talk about around the water cooler. Me personally, that's how I see it.
Yeah, but that's the point I'm making. The casual fan identifies the Toronto Raptors with Chris Bosh. I don't know if they identify them with Andrea Bargnani, and I don't know if he translates as well to that casual fan, that's a guy that they're going to get behind.
Well, maybe that's a mistake that the Raptors have made, that they haven't done a good enough job marketing other players or getting them out there doing stuff. You know, at the end of the day, maybe that's where they need to step it up.
I agree with that, actually. I think the Raptors should do more of that, where they market their players, not just in the Toronto area, but in Ontario, but beyond that, and take it to other levels. Although there is rumors they're going to do their camp out in Vancouver this coming year. So that would be interesting to see how that all works. But that's another story for another day. The rest of this team moving forward, I guess the one thing that you have to be somewhat optimistic about is the young guns, although only two of them are probably back next year. The other one we still have to wait and see, because the other free agent that some people forget and some people might not even know who are a casual fan of the Raptors is Amir Johnson. He may not be back. And then you have, of course, DeMar, who will be back on his rookie contract. And Sonny Weems has an option, which if the Raptors don't pick this up, we're going to change directions with the Dino Nation blog. We may start covering another team, because if you don't pick up Sonny Weems' option for under $1 million, something's wrong with you.
Yes, I agree with that one.
But what do you think about those guys moving forward? And is Amir a guy that, if Bosch isn't coming back, you pretty much have to try and get him back?
What they need to do is kind of set a goal. Are we a rebuilding team, or are we a team that's going to be a contender in the next couple of years?
I think clearly if they move Bosch, they have to be a rebuilding team. I don't think you can be a contender.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. So who are we really going to get? Who are we going to get for Sonny Weems? Who are we going to get for, you know, you have to kind of have a discussion about who's out there and who would want to come to Toronto and leave where they are and their lifestyle. Because, I mean, you've talked about before in some of your pieces about Bosch, that where is Bosch going to go, not only as a club and as a system and the coaching style and things that he would like, but the city where they're living in. I mean, you know, you said it yourself, he's come accustomed to the lifestyle in Toronto. You know, he kind of has a feel for it. You know, he's here, he's got that personality. Where is he going to go that's going to allow him to be himself? Sonny Weems, I don't know as much, because like you said, you know, the Raptors haven't done as good a job as marketing Sonny Weems and some of the other players that we're talking about. So maybe, I don't know, we need to find a way to, this is tough. James, man, you have good questions. I honestly don't have a ready-made plan that's going to, you know, because obviously I don't have the business talents to become Brian Colangelo in about 30 seconds. But, yeah, that's a great question. I have no idea where we'd send Sonny Weems if we had to. And you know what? I don't really want to see him go, so I don't really want to have that discussion.
No, I'm actually talking the opposite. I'm actually talking the opposite. I'm saying, with those young guys, are they kind of your future? Because DeMar is obviously here with his rookie contract. Sonny's here at least another year with his option. And then Amir, you have to go out and re-sign because he's a free agent. Could they be like your young core and be part of this rebuild?
I think they kind of have to be. Can you imagine if you were Brian Colangelo, okay, Bosch leaves, and everyone else like, oh, crap. He's leaving, well, I'm going to leave too. And then what do you have left to build with? You need a core to start with so that you can attract other players to come. Are you really going to attract talent and people to come here, players to come to Toronto and play for us when, you know, they don't have a core to start with and they're rebuilding? You're not going to attract the talent to do that. You need a core saying, look who we've got. You have to market the team as if to say, you know what? We might not be a contender in the next two years, but you know what? We're getting there. Look at what we're doing and prove to those players and make the argument that, you know, this team is going to be good for your career too. And you're not just going to be helping us. We're going to be helping you. And look, we can kind of do this together sort of thing.
And you see the whole thing, we're going to close off the Raptor portion of this, but the whole thing for me, and maybe it's why I've always been a component of trying to get Bosch to come back at whatever cost to do a rebuild again. I mean, 15 years of this, and if you've been a fan of this team for all 15 of those years, I think a lot of people are sick and tired of rebuilds, sick and tired of starting over from square one. And if Bosch leaves, that's exactly what they're doing. And I think there's a lot of frustration in the fan base for that. And for me personally, too, because, I mean, I'm not getting any younger, Danielle. I mean, this team, I've been following them for 15 years, and you know, I don't know if we're any closer.
I love you more today than I did yesterday, James. That's funny. But at the same time, though, you know what? I don't think that it's signed in blood that Chris Bosh has to be a Raptor for the rest of his life. And at the end of the day, if he's not happy here, there's nothing worse than playing with someone who's angry and who wishes they were somewhere else. I've been on a team like that before, and it is no fun. Not saying that it's the NBA level, but it is no fun playing with. It's not fair to Sonny Weems. It's not fair to DeMar DeRozan. It's not fair to anybody who is going to be a Raptor next year that play with a player who's ticked and wish they were someplace else.
But he'd have a lot of money to, like, comfort that feeling. And, you know, who knows, maybe
no,
Brian...
But I don't think it's also... You've also made the argument that he stayed here because of the lifestyle and everything else. So it's not just about basketball. I mean, it's not just about the money. Because obviously everyone would enjoy to make the amount of money that Chris Bosh does.
But
it also has to do with... Yeah, but it also has to do with your career. Are you still... Seriously, if somebody paid you... Not to equate the Raptors with McDonald's, but if someone paid you $1 million to work at McDonald's, are you seriously going to stay there for the rest of your life? No. You want to advance your career. You want to make it as fulfilling as possible. Look at LeBron James. That's what he's doing.
I don't know. You know, like $1 million, that's a lot of money. I mean, working at McDonald's, I'll have to think that one over. But you did mention LeBron James. We will be making the transition to the NBA portion of this little conversation, but that is your Raptor talk, such as it is, and there's a lot of stuff we got to figure out, and I'm sure...
I hope I didn't pick too many people off. I just kind of like to talk off the top of my head and talk from my heart. That's
the idea.
That's why you hired me, James.
That's the idea of this. It's okay. I'm sure people will not be offended. In fact, realistically speaking, I take more heat for sticking up for Bosh lately than anyone, because I think the guy isn't as bad as everyone has made him out to be. Like,
he's not.
He's like the problem of everything. I got news for you.
And I think that's why maybe you take some of the heat, but I'm kind of taking the flip side, because, you know, it wouldn't be a debate if we didn't have two sides to the debate being debated here. But I don't think that, you know, Chris Bosh isn't a bad person or a bad player or a bad business person for thinking, you know what, how can I further my career? Are the Raptors going to do it for me? Maybe not. Maybe I should keep looking and kind of see what's out there and weigh my options. There's nothing wrong with him saying to do that.
And, I mean, one guy doesn't win a championship. And I think everyone, when you hear about Bosh, they say he's not LeBron and he's not Wade. And you know what? That's fine. But guess what? LeBron hadn't won a title on his own, and neither did Dwayne Wade. He needed a big Shaq O'Neal to play alongside him to win a ring, too. So one guy doesn't always win a championship, and I think there's an allusion to that. And if there's anyone who even comes close to it, it's Kobe Bryant, and even he wasn't able to do it.
Exactly. But he's got support around him, too. He's got Pau Gasol. He's got, you know, he's got other players that, you know, have experience and that aren't in a rebuilding state kind of thing. And I think what the downfall of Bosh is, he didn't have that support around him. Not to knock Hidu, or not to knock, you know, any of the, you know...
Oh, you can knock Hidu. You can knock Hidu. I'm totally for that. And Raptor fans, when they watch him play for Turkey this summer, if we actually get that broadcast here in Canada, they will be furious, because Hidu will play out of his mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I just, you know, the support isn't there for him. If you look around, as everyone's performing the way that they're supposed to be performing, the teams gelling together, what are the issues, what's making them play kind of disjointed? Because I think that's the best word to describe them, is disjointed.
Wonderful. That's a happy way to end this Raptor segment. And disjointed they are, and to get them rejointed, I guess, is Brian Colangelo's job, not mine. Good luck, Brian. You will need it.